Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I tell you what, Michael, the first thing that comes to mind, I guess, for this year's playoffs, unfortunately, isn't the great play, even though there's been some great games and some fantastic performances. The thing that's coming to my mind is the officiating and all of the attention that's being paid to it. Is this of any concern to the league right now that there's just too much talk about the refs?
That happens every postseason. I mean, you are going to have conversations about officiating. It's all about gamesmanship, especially if you have a team that doesn't feel like it has a fair chance to win. You know, if they just go straight up, they're going to start griping about something else to give them some sort of advantage. Right now, you try to use whatever edge you can find. And if what's happening on the court isn't enough, then you're going to start griping about officiating. I really think it's kind of a lame conversation to have. And I really think that the play itself has actually overshadowed it. I think a lot of the talk about officiating is just a lot of crying, a lot of whining, and I wish people would just shut up and play.
Michael, you bring up a great point because that's how I've been feeling watching this playoffs is that this isn't anything new. It's been literally going on year after year after year. Team lose game one. They gripe, they gamesmanship, and, you know, that sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. But why does it feel like, is it that the media is covering it differently? Why does it feel like it's excessive this year, whereas in years past, this was just kind of the run-of-the-mill type thing?
Well, there definitely is a lot more media coverage of it, but I think in particular with the Houston Rockets, which is sort of taking it to the next level by incorporating analytics and finding all these studies and, you know, all these breakdowns and analysis, you know, it just, they went over the top with it as if there's some sort of conspiracy to keep them from winning games. When I watched the game seven, I was there, and I saw them miss 27 straight threes.
We
all
did.
How many calls, I don't care how many calls they thought they were going to get. You make a shot, you win the game. Right. You don't have to gripe about officiating. I mean, there's always going to be calls that you miss. These guys are human. They're not perfect. They're going to miss calls. You know, there's a lot of players, they do phenomenal things with their speed, their quickness, and their athleticism. It's probably the toughest sport of all to call because there's so much action, there's so much going on, there's so much movement. All these guys doing all these things. You got three guys out there. You know, there was a time when there were two guys. They said they had a third to try to alleviate that. It's still going to be more complicated. I honestly feel like I'd rather talk about what happened on the court. I'd rather talk about Kevin Durant getting 35 points. I'd rather talk about Draymond Green's emergence as, you know, a playoff, you know, steady in sports for this team. I'd rather talk about the fact that if Houston doesn't win this series, what does it mean for their future? What does it say about Chris Paul's future with all the money he's got coming his way? Can they find the right team to build around James Harden? These are the things that really need to be discussed. Yeah. Talking about the guys that where, you know, that they really aren't the ones who decide the game. The players always decide the game. And I think that's really what we got to have the conversation about.
Here, here. Well said, Michael. So let's leave this subject and let's get back to the games a little bit because I just think there's some great matchups. And obviously, Golden State Houston is at the top of the list. I thought in game two, especially, Houston played very poorly. I mean, 9 turnovers in the first quarter. They're throwing the ball all over the place. They allowed Golden State 18 offensive rebounds. Golden State is such a great team. Houston cannot afford to give them free points, free possessions like this. How are the Rockets going to deal with that and get this changed around and try and make this a series?
Well, they're going to have to get Clint Capella to show up. You know, Draymond Green has done a great job of taking him out. I think one of the things all year is that, you know, the Hamptons 5 group, you know, that has sort of been a problem all year. They haven't really dominated, but they have been a difference. You know, they with Iguodala, Draymond, KD, Klay Thompson, and Stephen Curry, that group has really been – phenomenal when they're on the floor, and they've neutralized Clint Capella, who's a huge part of what the Rockets do. He's a guy that's always there to catch lobs. He's a great rebounder, but he's sort of been absent, and they've done a great job of nullifying him. They got to get him playing at the level that they're used to, and maybe that being home will help him, being in the comfort of, you know, having a crowd that's going to support him and push him. They also got to get more out of Chris Paul. Yeah. I mean, I know he's getting older, and he's not going to be able to do what he did, you know, in the past. But they need more from him, and not just in terms of, you know, say he got to get 20 points, 10 assists. they just need his spirit to just be somebody that's giving him positive energy. I feel like he's, when I talk about Paul DeWining, I feel like he's at the heart of it. I feel like he's the main guy out there, you know, focusing on the wrong things. And as a leader, he's got to inspire his group. He's got to get these guys going. I mean, the line's been made, you know, by James Harden getting poked in the eye, and I think that did affect them. But I think that the guys that they're counting on, the guys that they've given these huge contracts to, they got to step up and play ball. And I think, you know, Houston's had his struggles, but they came around the second half of the season. They're a four seed, but we know that they have second seed talent,
yeah.
And they need to start playing like it, basically.
The Athletic's Michael Lee joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Michael, I want to talk about Kevin Durant because he just seems to be really comfortable.
Because you love Kevin Durant.
Really comfortable in his skin. I mean, the way, the bravado in which he is doing interviews now. And then to top it off, the way he's playing on the court. What is it about this time of year that seems to highlight Kevin Durant and his game? Because he, to me right now, he looks like the best player in the world.
You know, he's been on this kind of playing, you know, since the season began. I remember talking to him, you know, in November, and he was just telling me, I've mastered the game. He told me, I've mastered the game, and he didn't feel like he had any flaws to his game. And he's been telling himself that, and he's hoping that everybody else will get on board. He's been saying for the longest that he's the best player in the game. Nobody wants to hear him. Everybody wants to say it's LeBron or somebody else or try to look elsewhere. But this guy's the one that was the best player on the floor the last two finals. You know, this is a guy that has an MVP, has four scoring titles. And it's when he's engaged and locked in on the defensive end,
yeah.
I mean, who is better than him? I think what he wants to do is to make the conversation about basketball, because all season it's always been about something else. It's always been about his emotional state. It's always been about, is he going to play for the Knicks, or is he going to go to the Clippers? Or there's all these conversations about things that he wishes people would shut up about, because he's not going to be able to make a decision until July. Right now, he's giving us what the best show of his career. He's going out here. He's dominating. He's playing on an all-time great team, but he's clearly the best player. And I know people want to deny him of that, but he's clearly the best player. But I just feel like he's now controlling the conversation with his play. He's going out, having 50-point performances, 45-point performances. Those are the type of games that he doesn't usually, you know, author up, because he's all about trying to get the team and trying to win. He knows what gets people talking is having a big scoring performance. He gave it to you, and now people are starting to open their eyes and see what's been in their face for the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's insane how great he's playing right now. I feel like he and Harden are the only two players in the league that no matter what you do defensively, they can still score. But Durant's doing even more than Harden right now. Michael Lee from The Athletic talking NBA with us, on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. I hate to skip over Denver and Portland, but I feel like those guys are kind of just playing it out. They're good teams, but they're probably not going to be able to keep up with either Golden State or Houston. So let's go to the East for a second. I got the biggest kick out of the reaction around the league, maybe just around the media, when Boston blew out Milwaukee in Game 1 and said, well, the series is over. The Bucks can't keep up with the Celtics. I'm like, are you kidding?
Paul Pierce said the series is over.
I know Paul Pierce said that, but it seemed like a lot of people believed that. And I'm like, are you really? I mean, have you not followed NBA playoffs before? These things can change pretty quickly. And obviously in Game 2, Milwaukee came back, blew out Boston. So where do things stand there now?
I always thought it would be a seven-game series. You know, I felt like Boston is just such a team that they have so many weapons. They come at you from all angles. I call them the Wu-Tang Clan of the NBA because, you know, whenever the posse starts rolling, you never know who's going to step up and have a performance. Could be Method Man, Tony Stark, whoever you want. Somebody's going to bring it. That's where the Celtics are. But the Milwaukee Bucks have been the most consistent team all year. They don't have a lot. They had no major losing streaks all year. They were just steady. They were consistent. And they always maintain the same attitude because they're a disciplined group, and they take on the persona of their coach. You know, Mike Budenholzer, who always stays calm, measured. When that's your personality and that's who you are, you're not going to be blown. You're not going to get blown out and then all of a sudden say we're done. You're going to come back the next day and regroup, and that's what they've done all season. So I wasn't surprised with how they came back. I feel like this series is going to take a while. I do kind of lean towards Boston as the winner of the series, but there's no way on earth I was going to count out the Bucks after one game. They have too much, and they developed too many good habits over the course of 82 games to dismiss them as some sort of fraud.
Michael, I won't leave out the Blazers. I want to go back to that series because I was already a Dame Lillard fan. I've become an even bigger Dame Lillard fan after watching him go up against Russell Westbrook in that last series and keeping his composure the way in which he did. Out of these two teams, Denver, Portland, who do you think can give either one of these top teams, we consider top teams, Golden State, Houston, who do you think gives them the best matchup?
I would say Portland because of Damian Lillard and the fact that he can explode. I think that it would be perfect. And it, you know, if a kid from Oakland gets to go up against the team from Oakland in their last season in Oakland, it writes itself. And he's the one guy that's capable of just going on a scoring barrage to sort of make it fun. I think that when it comes to Denver versus Golden State, when Golden State decides they want to turn the volume up, Denver just can't.
They can't keep up.
They start putting their hand on their ears. They can't keep up. And I think they're at the and they know it. They know they're not at that level yet. The Blazers aren't at that level yet either, but they do have guys who can get hot, who can get cooking and put up massive scoring performances that, you know, and in playoffs, they come down to stars. And I love Jokic. He's one of my favorite players. I remember his rookie year watching him play, and I was like, this kid's going to be special. And I could just see it. You know, I didn't know he'd be this good this fast, but he's really awesome. And I feel like, but he's not the kind of guy that you can rely on to just have a huge performance because he just is not in him to take over games like that. He's such a guy who likes to defer and keep his teammates involved. So I lean more towards Portland just because they have guys who can erupt.
Couple of seconds left with Michael Lee of The Athletic talking NBA playoffs. I can't get through an interview in San Diego and talking about star players without at least a mention of Kawhi Leonard and what he's done this season in Toronto. And, you know, whether or not they advance or not. I guess if they advance, then it all worked. If they don't advance, he's going to be considered a failure type thing. And there's so much at stake, whether he stays in Toronto for another year or not. How do you think the Kawhi Leonard situation is going to play out and the rest of this series?
Well, I picked Toronto to win this series in six. I still think that's how it's going to play out. I just think that just their overall depth and just the fact that they have the best player on their side gives them that decided edge. I feel like Kawhi Leonard, you know, he's been gearing himself up for this moment. You know, he's been wanting to be in the conversation to be among the best. I mean, ever since he came in third, that year when Russell Westbrook won MVP and Harden got second, he came in third. He's been furious. He's felt like he's being slighted for whatever reason, and people aren't recognizing his talent. And last year was really upsetting for him because he was hurt, and he was going through his things with the Spurs where he didn't want to be there anymore. But now the Raptors have done everything right by him. They've low-managed him enough to keep him fresh this time of year, and now he's at the stage that he's always wanted. And he's coming out there and he's balling. I mean, he's averaging 40 points a game in the first two. And like the other day, the Sixers held him to 35 and we're celebrating it. Like, oh, he's 35. And I think that says a lot about just how good he is and just about what he's becoming. But he's wanted this moment, and I don't think he's going to let it go. I think he's going to be somebody that's if the Raptors can get to the conference finals and maybe even get to the finals, then this gamble has definitely been worth it. But I don't even necessarily think it's a gamble because of what it's done to change the attitude of that franchise and also to give that fan base the confidence. You know, for years they've always hoped that they could do something in the playoffs. They've always hoped that DeMar and Kyle could take them there. Well, they actually have a guy who's done it. So there's sort of a certain quiet confidence now with the Raptors fans and with the organization where, like, yeah, We haven't done it collectively as a franchise yet, but we got a couple guys here who have. And we have a steady guy like Kawhi who's going to bring it every night. We got another guy like Marcus Saul who hasn't necessarily been to a championship, but he's been to the conference finals with the Memphis Grizzlies. He's been a foundational player for our organization. So they have sort of a different mindset. There's not that kind of panic or that kind of praying that things work out our way. They're just like, hey, you know what? If we go out there and play the way we're supposed to play, then we're going to win. And I like the attitude they have now. It's a different team.
Great stuff, Michael. Really enjoyed talking NBA with you. Hope we can do it again around the finals. We got to roll, but thanks again for your time. I love your stuff, and keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.